Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ video ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica Inc., used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. Scriptures marked NLT are taken from the Holy Bible, New Living Translation, copyright by Tyndale House Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved. We are currently recording services in accordance with provincial lockdown regulations. If you would like to contribute a scripture reading, prayer, or communion thoughts, please send a message through Facebook or an email to adam.sandiford@beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca. This week's video is titled The Lord and Us, Part 1. Thank you to Dave, Don, and Kristen for your participation in this service. Dave will read the scripture as part of his welcome.
Well, we would like to welcome those here and those abroad who will be viewing this at a later time. We are thankful for your participation. As we enter into our new year, we are constrained by the virus and the uncertainty that surrounds it, and certainly we are prayerful for an end in sight. As we enter into a time of worship, we have listed on the overhead all of the January birthdays. Alan, Marie, Donna, Debbie, Carolyn, and Joanne, and an anniversary in January to Tim and Care. And we celebrate with these people. Our annual meeting will be held at some time after the lockdown has ended, and we need to tend to the business of our budget and our church for the next year. I'd like to have a word of prayer and then a reading, and then Don will speak to us. Heavenly Father, as we enter this year, we continue to face uncertainty and anxiety. There are fears and trials and losses that we have experienced in the past year. But we are thankful for the peace of Jesus Christ, which strengthens us. We pray that we may see ways to serve others, to express our faith and love. We're thankful for the grace and the mercies of God. We miss meeting together with all of our congregation, and we pray for them and the time when we can celebrate together to worship and express our joy like never before. May we be instruments to bring love to the world in need. May we pray for the hope Jesus that is in Jesus Christ, and for the year before us, and that may bring us together in your spirit. Reading this morning is taken from Deuteronomy 8, verses 1 to 5. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what is in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you.
I say good morning to all those who are here. Very few people in body here, but the many people who will be watching this and listening to this, we extend an invitation and thank you for being with us. Whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, it was to remind us that even though we are in the middle of a global pandemic, that the writer of Hebrews saw us with these words: you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God. So even though there are many people watching this from different places in the world, we come together as one. And if for some reason, many, many years down the road, this sermon comes your way, today is January 3, 2021, in the middle of this pandemic where there is such separation, there is yet at the same time a great deal of closeness. We're reaching out to one another. God sees us with him because he's always with us, even in the darkest of times. Many of us knew of a man by the name of Mark Trussler. Mark was a wonderful man, and he caught a disease that was a terrible, debilitating disease where he became completely physically immobilized to the point of not even being able to blink his eyes. It must have been torturous. And yet, knowing Mark, he was a man of great, great faith. He lived a long time, and he needed the help of a lot of people. People who could just somehow dab some water on his eyelids. He couldn't blink, and so eye drops had to be put in, and it was a long, long life. He was completely immobilized, but Mark never lost his faith in God, and of course, God never lost his faith in Mark. Mark never lost his faith in his friends, and his friends never lost their faith in him. One day, we will all be together. So I go back to the beginning. In Hebrews chapter 1, we don't know the author, but the author spoke to people of the past, the present, and us today in the future. So when these words were written by an unknown author, the book of Hebrews, 2,000 years in the past, here we are today quoting his words that will last for generations if God waits. And it's a beautiful picture that even though we are going through some challenging times, God sees us with him. So let me reread these words. You have come to Mount Zion. You have come to the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. So we've all known of people who are going through some real difficult trials and difficulties, and all throughout life, trials and difficulties come our way. In this world, Jesus said, you will have trouble. But at the same time, he reminds us, I am always with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Many have experienced terrible events, and their faith have maybe on occasions dwindled, but they hung in there. I think of a man by the name of Job. One of the most interesting books in all of the Bible. It doesn't really resolve all the way through. It's a book about suffering. It's a book about a man who loved God with all of his heart. And Satan somehow attacked him in such a way that it absolutely debilitated his physical body. And his friends thought they were helping him, but they were giving him wrong scriptural advice, saying, Job, you must have done something terrible for you to be in this situation. You must have sinned against God. Come on, confess your sins, and God will restore you. And Job, as an innocent man, just said, I don't think I've done anything. I love God with all my heart. And they said, that's impossible. And when you read the book of Job, it's a lengthy book. All the advice that's given to him is wrong advice. It's bad advice. There really was no answer to resolve any of it. And Satan continually attacked Job. But Job would not lose his faith. And throughout the history of the universe, it's a story that's very similar when we wonder why things happen. Do we move closer to God or do we pull away? In the book of Psalms, in chapter 73, we're not sure who wrote it. And we're not sure of the circumstance. But I read you these words. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They're free from common human burdens. They're not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. They say, how would God know? Does the Most High know anything? When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet, I'm always with you. You hold me by your hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you take me to glory. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God, you are my strength. You are the strength of my heart and my portion forever. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. What I love about this psalm is, whoever wrote this psalm is saying, I almost gave up. I almost gave up. But I couldn't give up because God will not give up on me. And I think of people in the Bible, all of them that have gone through really difficult times in their life. We talked a little bit about Job. He lost his family. He lost his friends. They gave him wrong advice. He had this ongoing dialogue with God. Nothing ever really truly resolved. He didn't know why. Somehow he felt like he was picked on. He didn't go in that direction. But he relied on God. And look at us now, thousands of years later. We know the word Job. We know what he went through. We know it was a horrible situation, and yet he hung in there. His faith was strong. And maybe he caught a glimpse of what the Hebrew writer said to people who maybe never thought of it. When the Hebrew writer says, you're already here. God already sees you with him. You have come to Mount Zion. You are surrounded by thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. You're never alone. God's pouring out his love into our hearts. And may we be examples to others who've kind of lost their hope and maybe have lost their way. Bad things happen to all of us. I think of the story of Joseph, son of a wonderful father. Brothers really had a difficulty with him. They felt like dad kind of honored him more than the rest of them. And so jealous brothers were going to kill him. And then they thought, you know, we can maybe make some money on this. We'll sell him. And so they went ahead and they sold Joseph. And Joseph's life was like this, up and down, up and down, loved by his father, hated by his brothers, eventually loved by the leaders of the land because Joseph was able to give good advice, and jealousy while other people came his way, imprisoned on a false charge. He interpreted dreams that came to fruition. Eventually, he was released. And because of his wisdom, the country survived a horrible famine. I think of Job, I think of Joseph, and I think of Jesus. Jesus comes into the world, the one who was predicted as the savior of all of the world, and many people looked at him and they thought, he's not political, we want a political savior. He's not making any of us rich, we want to be wealthy, we want to be the nation of the world, we want to rule the whole world. That was not Jesus. The greatest among you, Jesus said, is your servant. And why John 3:16 is such a powerful passage is because it demonstrates who he really is. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That doesn't just mean that you're going to live forever, but you're going to have a life that matters today. A life that counts today, an everlasting life, a life that will always work, even in the middle of sorrow and pain, and even in the middle of a pandemic. So for the remainder of my time today, I just want to read some passages of Scripture that remind us that we're not alone when difficulties come our way, and that God is always with us and will never leave us. So these are somewhat familiar, but let me just read some of these to you, and you might want to write them down when you have a chance. Romans chapter 8 is a wonderful passage. Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to start reading in verse 18. So based on everything that we've just said, let these words come to all of us. Paul says this, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And I'd like to say that 2,000 years after this was written, approximately, and today, on January 3, 2021, that message is as relevant today as it was when it was written. I consider, for all of us, I consider that our present sufferings, whatever it may be, are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation itself wait in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. I repeat that because that's us. The children of God revealing faith to the world. And then he says, for the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. It's not going to stay the way it is. Then he says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. And then I want to go down to verse 26. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, and the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with his will. That one day, all things will come together as one. The renewal of all things, the restoration of all things, the reconciliation of all things. But that doesn't mean that difficulties won't come our way. And sometimes when the difficulties do come our way, it's a reminder of what's coming with us, for us, what God will eventually be doing in us. And so, when I go back to the book of Hebrews, it's a vision of how God sees us even this very day, even when we have to go through difficult times. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. And I doubt that many of us are going through terrible sufferings. But there are some. And sufferings aren't just physical. Sometimes sufferings is emotional. It's kind of thrown the world for a loop. Sometimes some people just seem like there's just no problem with this pandemic. Others really struggle with it. It's not easy. Relationships are not often working out so well. And there's a challenge because of this pandemic. And it's a reminder of what Paul has said and what Jesus has said and what God reminds us of. And I go back to the story of Mark Tressler. Absolutely debilitated and yet alive and looking forward to that time when he could be with God, freed from his body, freed from the shackles that held him. And he was. And the Hebrew writer said, even though 2,000 years ago, thinking of us and the future, you have come. You have come to the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to Mount Zion. You have come to the city, surrounded by angels upon angels. You are God's child. So in this pandemic, yes, it is a challenge. It is difficult. But the glory of God can be revealed even in us. And may I conclude these brief words today from Revelation 21, 1 through 5, where the fulfillment of the prediction of things comes true, the joining together of the heavens and earth. Here's what it says. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look," and these words are so wonderful, "God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death. There will be no more mourning or crying or pain or pandemic, for the old order of things has passed away." And then he promises these words to us and those who've already passed and waiting for it. He says, "See, I am making everything new." Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Let's pray. God, our Father, we thank you that even during these challenging days, that your presence can be so real in our lives. We pray that we will never stop praying. And we pray that our friends and loved ones will continue to pray, to move closer to you. And we pray that the world itself will be healed through faith. We know that Satan is alive and active in this world, pulling us away or trying to pull us away from you, and that Jesus is always encouraging us to be closer to you. May we remind ourselves on difficult days that God already sees us with him, that you, God, already see us with you in the heavenly Jerusalem. And we look for that day when all things will be renewed, restored, and that we can be together as your people. Through Christ we pray. Amen.
Wash your hands. Wash your hands. Wash your hands. Wash your hands. I think all of us as kids growing up were told to wash our hands. And right now, it's pretty important to wash our hands. I've got some dry hands right now from washing them so much at work. Today, as we come around the communion table, I'd like to talk about what happened just before Jesus went on the cross. In Matthew 27:15-25. Now it was the governor's custom each year during the Passover celebration to release one prisoner to the crowd, anyone they wanted. This year there was a notorious prisoner, a man named Barabbas. As the crowds gathered before Pilate's house that morning, he asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" He knew very well that the religious leaders had arrested Jesus out of envy. Just then, as Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him this message. "Leave that innocent man alone. I suffered through a terrible nightmare about him last night." Can you imagine having a nightmare about somebody that you don't really know? Meanwhile, the leading priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas to be released and for Jesus to be put to death. So the governor asked again, "Which of these two do you want me to release to you?" And the crowd shouted back, "Barabbas." Pilate responded, Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" They shouted back, "Crucify him." "Why?" Pilate demanded. "What crime has he committed?" But the mob roared even louder, "Crucify him." Pilate saw that he wasn't getting anywhere and that a riot was developing. So he sent for a bowl of water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. The responsibility is yours." And all the people yelled back, "We will take responsibility for his death, we and our children." So it's a really good thing that day that Jesus didn't wash his hands of us. He took the place on the cross for Barabbas, but he also took the place on the cross for us. I have four more scriptures I'd like to share with you as we contemplate that sacrifice. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. 1 Peter 2:24. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you are healed. Matthew 20:28. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Hebrews 2:9. What we do see is Jesus, who for a little while was given a position a little lower than the angels, and because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. So as we come and we contemplate and we consider that sacrifice that Jesus made for us, he was an innocent man. He didn't do anything wrong. But he knew we weren't innocent, and he took that place for us. Dear Father, thank you for the bread and the juice representing Jesus' body and blood when he died on the cross. We come to you with hearts full of thankfulness for your Son, Jesus. We ask you to cleanse our hearts and minds. Holy Spirit, come into our lives and help us reflect the love that Jesus showed when he came to the world. We are not alone because you walk with us each day, each hour, and each moment. We thank you for forgiving our sins, knowing that we fail you. We thank you for giving us salvation. We want to see you and be with you. Help us to do your will on earth. Help us to reflect your light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, as we realize your presence, renew our faith, strengthen and encourage us. We know that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In his name, amen.
Because of the provincial lockdown, in-person services are canceled until further notice. Please check our Facebook page for the most current updates. You can learn more about the congregation at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.